Welcome to Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's Podcast Plays. On today's episode, Backseat Driver by Scott Mullen. Darcy isn't happy when a drunk woman climbs into the back of her car thinking it's an Uber, but when they talk, it turns out that all is not what it seems. Backseat Driver features the voice talents of Laura Rayner and Abigail Page. Stay tuned after the show for a brief interview with its author, Scott Mullen. And now, Backseat Driver, from Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's Podcast Plays.
Why are you in my backseat?
I need to go to what's my address again? I want to go home. Here's my license. Take me there.
Who are you?
I'm Tina, and you're my Uber driver, Sanjay.
Do I look like a Sanjay?
Hold still for a minute. Let me see.
I'm not an Uber driver.
This is a car, right?
Obviously.
Then take me home, please. I'll give you $2.19.
I'm not driving you anywhere.
Then what are you doing?
Nothing.
You're sitting in your car in the parking lot of a Denny's, just doing nothing? That's sad.
You're drunk.
Exactly. It's dangerous out there on the streets. For other people, I could do anything to anybody.
I don't think you're a danger to anyone.
I might throw up on them. I might throw up on you.
Maybe you better get out.
Can't I just sit here and wait for my Uber?
No.
Please. Please.
Fine. You can sit there and wait for your Uber. If you can be quiet.
I can be quiet.
Good.
Totally quiet. Hey, do I know you?
No.
Did we go to school together?
No.
Wait. You live in my apartment building over on 3rd Street. Daisy.
No.
Dina.
No.
Destiny?
No.
Dahlia? No. Daffodil?
Stop. Stop. Darcy. My name's Darcy.
I totally remembered you had a D in your name. Did you used to have a perm?
No.
I can totally see you with a perm.
You're not being quiet.
Why are you in the parking lot of a Denny's?
Why are you?
This is where my friend Liz promised to meet me if we get separated at the club. And we totally got separated. So I came down here hoping she'd be here, but no Liz. Maybe she got lucky. Maybe she got busy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, I do.
So then I called an Uber and there you were. Take me home.
No.
Because you're doing something.
I am.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
This is like a mystery. I'm like a drunk Sherlock Holmes. Sure drunk Holmes. She's sure drunk Holmes. Come on. That was funny.
If I laugh, will you leave?
There's no pity laughing on a Saturday night. Fine. I'm going.
What are you doing in my front seat?
You really need to lock your doors.
Get out.
I want to see what you're looking at. Oh, is it that girl in the restaurant? In the window?
No.
With the hat?
No.
Look at me in the face and say no.
No.
You're totally lying. Wait. Doesn't she live in our building?
No.
She totally does. That's Ruby? Reggie? Rose.
Does she? I haven't noticed.
Eh, lies! Why are you watching Rose? Oh, are you stalking her?
No.
It seems like you're stalking her.
I'm not.
Parked out in the parking lot, watching her.
This was the only spot available.
Well, we know that's not true. So I have to admit, that's interesting. You and Rose. Can't say I ever pictured it. But, you know, she's an interesting girl. And you have potential.
You think so?
So you admit you like her.
No.
Guess it was because of her looks, but she's not a classic beauty. So there must be a story. I love a good story.
No.
You say no a lot.
I'm not telling you anything.
You need to start saying yes more. When I started saying yes, my life changed. My life opened up.
You should have said no to another drink.
You're funny. Does Rose like funny girls?
I don't think she likes girls at all. She's in there with a guy.
But you like her.
You're not gonna let this drop, are you?
No. Hey, see, I said no. Sometimes I do. Tell me something about Rose that will stop me from walking in there right now and telling her that you're creeping on her.
I'm not creeping on her.
Tell me.
She kissed me.
She did not.
I was at the building New Year's Eve party.
I remember that party. You were there?
A little bit, but there was no one I really knew there. I didn't really feel like I belonged. So I was leaving and I heard a girl yell and I went around the corner of the hallway and Rose was trying to pull away from this guy who was all over her. So I hit him right on the chin and he went down.
Frank Peters. It was.
Wait, you've heard this story?
Keep going.
So Rose looked at me and she was way too drunk, but she said thank you and she staggered off. And I saw she wasn't in good shape, so I made sure she got into her apartment okay. And I guess on some drunk level, she saw I was taking care of her, and she kissed me on the lips. And she staggered inside and closed the door. And I know that seems really stupid and a little pathetic, getting my first kiss from a drunk girl who doesn't even like girls, but it felt nice. I was her guardian angel, and I decided I liked that job. So every Saturday night, I keep tabs on her just to make sure she's safe. Plus, she posts everything on Instagram. Tonight, she's out with this guy. You can barely see him from this angle. Not sure if he's the best guy. Plus, he took her to a Denny's.
Nothing better than a warm slice of apple pie and some ice cream at the end of a fun night.
That does sound good. So I'm keeping an eye on them just to make sure that he's not driving drunk or he's not being mean to her. I just want her to be happy. That's all it is.
Wow.
So if your Uber driver doesn't show up and you want to fall asleep in the back of my car, as soon as I'm done watching Rose, I'll drop you home too. Because everyone should be safe. And you look like you could use a guardian angel too.
So you don't have some weird fantasy that Rose is going to fall for you?
She's not gay and I don't know her. I may never have an actual conversation with her. I wouldn't be surprised if she has no memory of the night I drove her home. I honestly hope she finds love with one of these guys. I really do.
You're just a nice girl with nothing better to do on a Saturday night.
Sadly, I guess that's true.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I'm not drunk. I haven't had a drink all night.
I don't understand.
My friend Rose texted me and said there was someone peeping on her at the Denny's.
Oh, God.
So I figured I'd climb in the back of your car and see what was going on. Because I'm kind of her guardian angel, too. We all look out for each other.
This is mortifying.
Nah, you're all right.
What?
I heard about Frank getting punched. He deserved it. Rose also has a vague memory of someone helping her. But you're right. She has no idea who it was. But that was a good deed. So we're going to walk into Denny's.
No.
and tell her that there's no problem. And then we're going to sit down and order apple pie with ice cream and bring them back to the car. And we're going to have some pie and keep an eye on our girl. Okay?
All right.
And who knows? Maybe you'll find love.
With you?
Would that be a terrible thing?
No.
Say yes to the pie.
Yes.
Yes, looks good on you. Let's go.
Backseat Driver was written by Scott Mullen with Abigail Page as Darcy and Laura Rayner as Tina. Now, stay tuned for an interview with the playwright, Scott Mullen. And hope you enjoyed that show. That was Backseat Driver by Scott Mullen. And here with me now, we have Scott Mullen, the playwright of Backseat Driver. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Hey, nice to be here.
Scott, you know I'm a fan. We have done another one of your works earlier. I always love seeing your name pop up on the theater festivals that are always happening. So I was really happy to do this radio play. You wrote this as a radio play, right? This wasn't written as a stage treatment.
No, it's actually a stage play. It was. I was exploring the idea of stage plays in cars, even if it's just a couple of rows of seats. Mm-hmm. And this play came out, and I turned it into a radio play because it has some interesting sound effects along the way, slamming doors and stuff like that. So it seemed good for it. Plus, you know, just two people, so it's easy mm-hmm. to differentiate the voices.
It's definitely conducive to the radio play, audio play format. So that was one of the reasons why I liked it. Now, if anyone is, you know, in the community theater space, they have probably heard your name. Who knows? They have probably either seen or been in one of your plays. And so one of the questions that I'm sure you get a lot, so forgive me for asking it, is, where did you get this idea for this play? Because one thing I love about your plays is kind of the, I don't know if I'd call it a twist, but there's always some, you know, hidden relationship or connection between what first seemed like, you know, two very different people. So where'd this idea come from?
It's funny. I often just sit down and have a setting and some characters, and I just let them bounce off each other. And originally this was a man driver and a woman getting into his car, and it sort of worked, but it, as I played with it, I realized the two women actually worked better because it gave a better dynamic to the two characters. So but yeah, it's sometimes I discover things along the way. Sometimes I have an idea going into a play that, oh, this would be an interesting twist for the end. But sometimes it occurs to me as I'm writing it, and I'm like,
yeah,
I could do that.
Yeah. One of the things that I liked a lot about it, and it's not a spoiler, because if people are listening to this, they have heard the play, is the same-sex relationship between the driver and the girl inside the Denny's. And because I think that is something that you don't often see a lot in plays. More and more, it's starting to happen. But that was a very nice touch. Was that one of those moments that you were talking about where it just kind of the characters led you, as one of my favorite authors, Stephen King, says when he's writing, he lets the characters tell the story? Or was that something that you had thought of ahead of time?
No, it's, you know, every time I write a play, I write a lot of 10-minute plays. I mean, I've only written one full length in my entire life. It's all short mm-hmm. plays. And a lot of the times when I finish the first pass at it, I'll think, do these characters need to be the sex that I gave them at the beginning? And sometimes I will explore that, say, well, if these were two women, how would that change it? And it's kind of dicey because it is community theater often, and I want to make sure that I write something that feels more accessible and not necessarily inherently challenging. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I also have realized, and I know a lot of great actresses, that often there tend to be a lot more women than men at these theater companies. And mm-hmm. so I tend to write an awful lot of women in my plays. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to write for what you got.
Yeah.
As you said, you are like the king of 10 minute plays. So how did the pandemic affect you in terms of your writing? Did it slow you down? Did it inspire you with more stories? And where are you now with your prolific output?
It actually slowed me down a little bit. I think one problem is the fact that since theater pretty much shut down for the last couple of years, a lot of the plays I write will be specifically for, like, a theater will do a festival about a campfire or something. And I'll say, okay, I can write a campfire play, and I'll write the play. And sometimes they don't pick it, but it's a good play and it's done somewhere else. And there just haven't been a lot of those opportunities this year because everybody's postponing stuff from 2020 into 2022. So, but I wrote a lot of Zoom specific plays. I turned a lot of my plays into radio plays because that's starting to be big now because people can do that online and it's very accessible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's funny. Two years ago, I took a month and I said, I'm going to write a 10 minute play every single day this month. And I did, and it was very successful.
Wow.
And I'm considering doing that next month just to get me writing plays again because my output has been a little slow in the last 6 months, so I want to jumpstart a little bit.
That's great. When I see how, like, when you did that, you know, when you challenged yourself with that, or even now when you're mentioning you're thinking of doing that again, I'm like, I don't understand how he can do this many. And every play is that I've read. I mean, I haven't read your entire catalog, but every play that I know of yours is unique and special in its own way. So, you know, it's a gift. And so you're a script doctor for your real job. Is that the correct terminology for it?
Yeah, I'm a script reader. I mean, I write synopsises and comments for Hollywood production companies for screenplays. And then I also give notes on screenplays and sometimes plays to writers. So,
And you've had, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you've had some of your stuff turned into films. Is that correct?
I've had some TV movies made of my scripts, mm-hmm. some cable movies, nothing huge, major, though I have one supposedly that's going to be on Lifetime next year. Wow. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you'll have to keep it posted.
Because everybody has that channel. Sometimes the channels I'm on, it's like, yeah, you may not have this, or it may be like channel 560 on your cable system, but
hidden somewhere in the boondoggle.
Yeah, but no, it's nice. And I like screenwriting, but I kind of like writing 10 minute plays too, because I can really bang one out in a few hours and it's done. And it feels like I've accomplished something, and then
definitely
it gets done. It's fun.
I agree with you on that. And so what it made me think of is when you're reading these screenplays, do any of them, you know, strike you as, wow, I love this idea, I'm going to take it and kind of give it my own spin? And maybe is that a source of your creative juices?
Well, that's a little dicey. I don't think I have consciously done that. I mean, certainly there might have been a weird idea that stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I think the benefit of my job, though, is I have read such an incredible amount of screenplays and books for my work, probably up to about 19, 20,000 now over the last 25, 30 years, that I have a really good sense of story. So I dive into a play and somewhere in my brain, it's sorting out where the story can go.
And
it's a weird gift.
Yeah. You know, it's a great gift. I wish I had that gift as a writer myself. Yeah. Last question. Just because I'm so interested in what you do, have any screenplays crossed your desk? I'm sure at some point where it's been a huge movie, like when it's eventually been made, if it's been made, it's been huge. And when you read it, you're like, what is this garbage?
Yeah.
Or the total opposite, where like you loved it, it got made, and it was generally considered a piece of trash.
I think the best example of when I got one wrong was probably, I can't remember the name. It was the one that Clint Eastwood did, Mystic River. I read the book, mm-hmm. and it just didn't really feel like a movie. And the story's kind of weird. And I think the movie works because they really cast it well, mm-hmm. and it's incredibly well acted. But I didn't see it. I didn't see the movie in it when I read the book. And this was a number of years ago. So hopefully I've gotten better since then. But
all right.
But I did read Saving Private Ryan before it was made. And I was like, wow. And I was reading as a writing sample. So it wasn't my recommendation. They got it made. But I was like, this guy could write. This should be a movie. And then it was a movie.
A great movie. Well, thank you very much, Scott, for chatting with me about not just Backseat Driver, but about your career in film and theater. And I'm always loving what I read and looking forward to whatever you create next. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back again next week with another podcast play. If you have a play that you would like to be considered for a podcast play, please visit www.jakespearevtc.com/submit. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast to be updated to the latest episodes.